on this morning is something I've been processing. And I decided to look into this a little bit more. It's this idea of a disciple. What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? What does that look like? Do you have it ready there? Well, it was working earlier because you had it up. Okay, here is a thought on the meaning of a disciple. Is someone who adheres completely to the teaching of another, making them their rule of life and conduct. And when I think of Jesus Christ, of what Jesus has done for us, and are we wanting, is there a desire within us to be a disciple of Jesus? Does that exist or don't it? And as I was looking at this, I came across a diagram that started pointing out the difference of a believer and a disciple. And I want to look at this from the angle of, and as I page through this, as I go through this, there's like seven of them that puts a scenario together. I want you to ask yourself, do I want to choose to be a believer, or do I want to choose to be a believer and a disciple? And I really think there is a difference here. And I put Bible verses to this in order to get us thinking, is do I want to believe in Jesus? Or do I want to believe and also be a disciple of Jesus? So when you look at the two, it's just bringing out some comparisons. And I want to talk about this later. So I want you to process this with me and ask yourself the question, am I wanting to be a believer, or do I want to be a disciple, a believer and a disciple? So ask yourself this question as we go through these comparisons. The first one I want to look at is the believer. As a believer, we have eternal life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So here we see, in believing Jesus, it is by faith. It is a belief. But as you look at discipleship, it's a step further. And in Luke 9:23 says, and he said to them all, if anyone desire to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. That is part of discipleship. Is taking what you found in Christ, now you're going to get a step further. A believer, you will have, it's a free gift. In Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. There's nothing we can work for in this area of a free gift. But being a disciple can be costly. And these are the words of Jesus when he was teaching his disciples. He was being called that you're a part of Beelzebub, which is a demon. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. He's just saying here, if I'm your master, I want you to understand that you're not above me. But this is what they're doing to me. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher or his servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call them of his household? So if we are choosing to be a disciple and people come against us, it's okay. I mean, expect it. If we want to be a disciple. But I believe there's a difference here is when I look at a believer, it's a free gift. It's given to us. But when you just choose to step into discipleship with Jesus, there's a cost involved. A believer you receive through faith. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. As a believer, by faith, we are justified because we believe that Jesus made the atonement for our sins, and it's nothing we can do. It's something we have to believe. But as a disciple, We receive is the disciple is received through commitment and obedience. Luke 9:62. Jesus said to him, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." And in the context where this verse is taken out of, it is talking about the cost of discipleship. The cost of discipleship, there's a cost involved. And Jesus is saying is, when you're starting, and after you start, you look back and say, "This is too hard." It says, you are not fit for the kingdom of God. And I believe what that kingdom is talking about, the kingdom here on earth, is when we're saying, I want to follow God. I know it's going to cost me. And in the process costing, you look back and say, not sure if I want to go here after all. But in following God, there is a cost. But again, the first step as a believer, it's through faith. It's not through works. A believer, Ephesians, is not by works. Ephesians 2:8. "For by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We cannot boast of salvation. It doesn't exist. There's nothing we can do as far as working out for salvation, because it's a free gift. But now when it comes to discipleship, it's a little different. Philippians 2:12. "Therefore, my brother, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." And we might say is the word salvation is in there. But I believe it has to do with discipleship. That it takes effort. It's something you got to do. It's not something that's given to us. It's a choice that we got to make. Instant justification in Romans 5:9. "Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we have been saved through wrath through him." You know, when we choose to believe in Jesus, we are instantly justified. Our sins are taken care of. But if we choose to be a disciple, this is a journey. John 17:19. "For your sakes I have sanctified myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth." But when I see this sanctification, this is a lifelong journey. This is not instant. This is step by step, choosing to follow the ways of the Father. As a believer, Jesus paid the price. Romans 5:8. "God demonstrated his own love toward us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." But as a disciple, it's a little bit different. The Christians pay a price. "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." I don't know if you're starting to see the difference or not, but there's a big difference between believing or being a disciple. Again, believing in Jesus. Romans 10:9. "If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." It is believing. It is confessing. But as following Jesus as Lord, now this is, and I want to make a distinction here. To believe Jesus as Savior has to do with this side here. To follow Jesus as Lord is a little bit different. The description it gives here, the one for Lord is a person who has authority and control and power over others. A chief, a master, chief, or ruler. That's the definition of the word Lord. So my question is, I believe everyone here that is here, if you're born again, Jesus is your Savior. But now I want to ask you the question, is Jesus your Lord? Does he have authority or control over your life? This is a choice we have here. We all have a choice whether he wants to be our Savior or if we want him to be our Lord also. And it's a decision we can make. It's our decision. A believer believes in Jesus. A disciple obeys his commands. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. It's very basic. But that is the hallmark of a disciple, is obeying. So if someone don't obey, but they say believe, that actually exists. It can exist. But I believe it gives the picture that we're choosing to be a believer rather than a disciple. As a believer, we cannot earn salvation. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. It is a free gift. Salvation is a free gift that is given to all believers. But as a disciple, it's a little bit different. In Matthew 6:20, it says, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. So my question this morning is, and I don't know how many of you will want to publicly declare it, but is there anyone here that wants to publicly declare which one you want to be? We can choose. Do you want to make a public declaration? One could be for your own purpose, but one other purpose can be for those around us. What do you want to be? Does anyone care to say what you want to be? If you won't say it for the others, say it for yourself. You are a disciple. Now I want to take this a little further. As I looked at discipleship, I think there's four different levels of being a disciple. So I want you to ask yourself this question again. Where are you at? The first level of disciple is you listen to your master's instructions. The second step in discipleship is you start watching the master perform the action. The third level is, or step, whatever you want to call it there, you perform the action with the master's help. And you can take this in all kinds of ways. You can take it, you know, as you're training your children. Where are they at? But I'm not here looking at those around us. I'm looking at ourselves. The third step is when we start doing it and instruct others. So in this area of a discipleship, where are we at? And to me is, I'm not so much concerned where we're at, as long as we know where we're at. And we're saying, I'm at step number one, because all I'm doing is listening, but I really want to take step two. So as you look at that, if you want to say it out loud where you are, fine. If you want to say it to yourself, fine. But I want you to process a little bit. In this journey, if you're choosing to be a disciple, now this is not really connected to believers. This is connected to people saying, I am a disciple of Jesus. Where are we at? And I want to just take a moment that you think about this in your own mind and ask yourself, where am I at? Journey. Can you define action? Well, when I look at on the discipleship, that was a little bit harder for me when I was looking at that. But when I look at everyday life, when I look at my own employees, you know, the first step is we start instructing them. The second step, we do it and they watch us. And this can actually be, you know, might only take a couple weeks till they start on the third one already. But action to me, when I look at this in the world of discipleship with Jesus, I think I would break it down to this. The first step is what I'm doing here. I am bringing instructions of discipleship right now. The second step, I think, is, I want to do this. What does the Bible say about this subject? How can I take the actions of Jesus? Because if I'm a disciple of Jesus, I want to copy and repeat what he's doing. So we start looking how he did it and try to live it. I guess that would almost, okay, the first one would be searching it. The third step would be now doing it. Then the fourth step is now also teaching it. But before we teach it, we got to first of all do it. Before we do it, we got to want to know it. Before we can want to know it, we got to be willing to take instructions about it. Any other input there? Seth?
Is it not more fluid than just you're at one spot? Because I can place myself at each one spot at different areas of my life. And I think that it should be that way until I'm 100 years old.
That'd be a blessing to see you, Seth, 100 years old. I hope you reach that goal mark. I believe we can take this in several levels. One is my overall part of life. But we can also break it down to individual areas of our life. We can do this both. Overall, where are we at? But there's this one area that I did not even realize I was messing up with. But in the area of someone teaching, all of a sudden I discovered that I don't even have this part. It is a journey, but do we want to learn? Are we open to learn? Are we desiring to learn? Now, I want to take this a step further. And I want to ask this. In the area of discipleship, how many of you have a desire to have a mentor in your life, in the area of spirituality? How many of you have it? I'm going to first of all ask that. How many of you have it? Someone in your life that's a mentor to you. How many of you are you mentoring? Are you mentoring someone? And recently I was challenged with this. In Mark 2:13, this is talking about Jesus. And Jesus went out again by the sea, and all the multitudes came to him, and he taught them. And he passed by, and he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office. And he said, which is talking about Jesus, said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. So the part I want to bring out here is, do we want to go up to someone and say, "Follow me"? This is how Jesus did it. Jesus said, "Follow me." Are we confident enough who we are that we're willing to say that we see someone struggling and we go up to him and say, "Follow me"? We're a disciple of Jesus. This is how he did it. Do we want to do it the same way? And it just dawned on me recently of this idea that do I want to do it the same method as Jesus did? So when I look at this, yes.
Were the disciples struggling? You mentioned that I heard you say that you, as a discipler, see someone that's struggling, you want to help them. Do they have to be struggling to listen?
I don't think so, no. I think this can be any position. And why Jesus picked Levi, I don't know. But he saw someone, and he went up to him and said, follow me. The other thing I want to see here is, let's see, does this have a pointer? Okay. Don't even work on there. Okay. That's different. I don't care where we are at. I believe we always, if we are choosing to be a disciple of Jesus, we always have something to offer to someone else. No matter where our maturity level is, we have something to offer to someone else. And my question is, are we willing to take what we have and to give it to someone else? From an angle of that what I have, I want to help you come up to where I am. I believe it helps us to have disciples, if I want to use those words. Because if you have someone looking up to you for instruction, you kind of want to grow. When I reminisce of my journey when I was in my 20s, when I was going to Fulton Shelter, you know, sitting in front of a group of about a dozen youth, and you never knew what for questions they're going to ask you. It was wide. Something happened with inside of me that I wanted to give answers that are good. So what did that behoove me to do? It behooved me to know where I stand on issues. What do I believe? But as I chose to put myself in that situation to teach others, it pushed me to teach myself, or at least to find ways to teach myself. I believe that's one of the blessings of discipling others. So just in this body here, you know, the question I will give us again is everyone in here being discipled or not? Do we have a desire to be discipled? If we do, is that desire being met? If desire is not being met, can we meet it within ourselves here? I've also discovered that being discipled does not always mean that the one that is doing the discipling knows everything about life either. In Proverbs it says, iron sharpens iron. And I discovered that if you're just in a group and you might be equals, what I mean by equals is in a journey of Christianity, we all kind of face the same things. And I discovered in that setting, if you submit yourself to a setting like that, you can sharpen each other and you can motivate each other to grow. Because one person might have something 1 week that you need. The next week, you might have something the next person needs. Together, we can encourage each other to grow. But it takes time, it takes commitment. It takes willing to relate to each other. Are we willing to say what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1? Can we say this to each other? Is this a cry of, are we willing to be this bold? He was bold. Another passage says very similar in the King James Version. In this same passage, it brings out the thought, follow me as I follow Christ. So are we confident in who we are that we can go to someone and say, follow me. Intimate me. Look at this. Am I willing to do this? Is this real within me that I can do this? Am I confident in who I am in Christ that I can get someone else to say, follow me? if we all do that to each other here and everyone would be involved somewhere, I wonder how it would change us, how it would affect us. Is there anything else that someone else wants to share input into this? I mean, here?
Yeah, I mean, just reading it, it kind of seems like you get to a point when you don't need Jesus. Anyway.
I can. Because this area here, I actually struggle with myself. I'd much rather be here than here. I'll be honest. I feel the Holy Spirit pushing me into this area, and I have a struggle with it because I'm not quite confident like I should be. What I see the difference there is I keep asking the Holy Spirit, do you want me to go here or not? I need His assurance. There is a part in our maturity level that when God says, that when we see something that we know we can do, we don't need His urging to do it. We just do it. Because our time with the Master has been to a certain point, we have confidence in who we are, and we do it without Him pushing us to do it. Because there's another verse that just popped in my mind in Philippians and says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. When that mind is fully integrated into our mind, and we see a need, we don't stop and ask, God, is this your will? We know it. And out of that knowing, we do it. But when you're there, we are not working outside of who He is. It's just He has integrated our being to the degree that we automatically know and we automatically do without any pushing. That's how I process that. I don't know if that makes any sense or not. No, it's just we have submitted ourselves to the degree that we have His mind. I mean, the scripture says, let His mind, I should read that, if I can find it real quick. I think it's in Philippians. If anyone knows exactly that passage, let me know. Oh, where are my glasses? Someone have a search. 2:5. Yeah. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, if you want to take this a step further, if you want to go to the next verse, who? Being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And what he's saying is, let this mind be in you to make yourself equal with God. I mean, that is crazy. If I'm reading this correctly. He didn't think it was robbery to be equal with God. He said, this is the type of mind that you're supposed to have. And that's a stretch for me. But I believe that is a result of submission to the level that we automatically know His heartbeat. And the question to do it or not doesn't exist. We automatically want to do it. Any other thoughts? Okay. Okay.
First, it starts with I've watched my parents drive for years and years. And then I'm listening to their instructions leading up to me driving. And then
You think you'll get there? I do too. I don't doubt you at all. And I'm grateful you're at that point of that. That's an exciting moment of life to be able to get some of that freedom. I don't know if your mom likes it, but it's okay. She'll like it eventually. That's a good thought. But I think we understand the gist of what that is saying. And I imagine you could spin this several different ways. But what I want to bring out is in discipleship, there is a progression. And the ultimate goal is to be like Christ and to be able to teach others like Christ, to be like Christ. I feel that is the ultimate goal in any type of discipleship. I mean, when I look at business, I love seeing people mature. I hire young guys all the time. And to see them mature and come to the place where they can start doing it, but then also to see them come to the place now, in turn, they're training others. That is fun to watch. That is so much fun to watch. And I believe, Jason, you could relate to this in school. Start teaching someone, and then they start learning what you have, and then eventually they can turn around and start teaching it to others. There's a satisfaction within there that's just beautiful. Any other comments anyone wants to make? Okay, Dale. Oh, Jason, go ahead. Can you make disciples if you're not a disciple? I think the answer is very obvious. You cannot teach something that you don't know yourself. So you cannot teach discipleship if you're not a disciple yourself. I don't think it's possible. I will say this, in the area of if you cannot find no one to disciple yourself, I believe there is, now let me back up, if you cannot find anyone to disciple you, I believe there is an alternative that does work, and that is get together with like-minded people, and as iron sharpens iron, it will help you to grow. But I believe the ideal is to have someone older speaking in. Now, to jump off what you were saying, is are we willing to break that cycle? That as much as we yearn to have someone older, are we willing to teach someone younger? And break that cycle of not being able to be discipled. Matt, you had something.
To know.
Anyone else have any thoughts to bring up? Okay, again, just closing here, I want to encourage everyone is if you don't have a mentor in your life, I'm going to take Matt's thing right there, pray for one. The second step is, are you willing to look around and to someone younger and say, I see potential in you, may I disciple you? So, deal.